lesson this morning is recorded for us in the second chapter of Luke. It is a continuation of the story that you heard last week. I'm going to be reading from verses 21 through 40. And this is not as long as you think it might be, but that went on from Isaiah fooled me too when I was first looking at it. It took me a while to even type it in. Anyway, the shepherds have all come and gone, and now it is about a week later. It says, after 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him, and then Simon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel and the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, Mary and Joseph returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. There's a long time saying that Christmas is for children. When I was a child growing up here in North Church, I believed that. And I supposed that my parents, Clarence and Dorothy Houston, believed that too. They chose my younger brother Raymond and me through adoption with the help of Dr. Willits, had us baptized when I was 5 years old, saw me through my first sermon at the age of 12, confirmation at 15, ordained as a deacon in 1971, and on November 19, 1978, Dick Schornsteimer's birthday, no less, I was ordained as minister of Word and Sacrament. My parents took seriously their vows and prayed that I would keep mine. Well, it will be 40 years next November, and now retired, I am still preaching and occasionally attending worship in my home church. I share my story because while I know many of you, there are new faces to me as well. North Church has grown and changed over the years. I have followed the journey, the transitions, the prayers. In many ways, both the church and I have grown together and apart. And now, as on occasions, we are together again on this Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. We are on the threshold, crossing over the birth of Jesus, wherein, like the adoring shepherds, we have pretty much returned to daily life and to its routine, dealing again with the world as it is, hoping we gain something of the Christmas spirit of kindness and generosity and gift exchanges, listen to the old story, shared our own, and hope that we have sufficient peace and love within our hearts to go tell it on the mountain and in the valleys where the story needs to be shared as light. We bow before an infant and his adoring and faith-filled parents. We have pondered with Mary this precious moment of God's promise and possibility. What we have read and what we know is that life does not stop. It goes on. And in simplest terms, we move on. We grow, or at least we are supposed to. As it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in the Old Testament, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time to be born and a time to die and a time for everything in between. With Holy Scripture, we learn that time has come for growth. It's hard to move away from Christmas. We spend so much time getting ready for it. It was a tradition in our home and is a tradition in mine that I do not put up my tree until the morning of Christmas Eve. That was a little difficult last week because last Sunday was Christmas Eve day. My tree was up. I had spent 3 days just looking for the 75 memorial angels made of cloth and paper mache that go on the tree with a star on top and some silver spikes and artificial pink roses in between the branches. I thought I had packed everything and labeled it all very carefully, but I turned the boxes the wrong way. I was still looking for and found a lost angel on Tuesday, the day after Christmas. That was the day I talked with two childhood friends who now live in Virginia. They had already taken down their trees, and I was just finishing mine. I did go into a store on Thursday only to find that leftover Christmas decor was also boxed and the shelves were being prepared for, guess what? Valentine's Day. Exactly. We see how quickly time moves. Suddenly we move from the time of Santa Claus and dances with sugar plums to more adult topics of hearts and flowers. The Christmas for children moves to a new song. Lo and behold, Christmas is for adults too. The Presbyterian denomination has already sent information to us for Lent and Easter. Lent, in case you want to know, is 6 weeks away, and Easter is 13. This baby Jesus, whom we are coming to know, is going to grow up very fast. We see that in today's gospel lesson. Next week, if I've read the bulletin correctly, you will join the Magi in their visit to the infant Jesus. The church will move from Christmas into a new season called Epiphany. On January 7th, congregations will hear the story of Jesus' baptism, and from there, the early days of his ministry. He goes from an infant to a couple of years old to the age of 30, all in 3 weeks. He has become an adult with a ministry and a mission, and soon one learns about his teachings, the miracles, the controversies, and, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. We are cast into the stage that Christmas is no longer just for children. It is for adults who also wish to discover who this child of God is and what he has to say about a very adult world. Today, a week after Christmas, after the birth with its all-too-busy inns and its shepherds, its stars, and its angels, Mary and Joseph have traveled again, but this time to Jerusalem and to the temple. There, life is laid out for them, including observations, even predictions and blessings for Jesus' life and for us and for our children and grandchildren. I've always loved the story of Simeon and Anna. The older I get, and I just turned 70 last September, the more this story appeals to my curiosity and my senses. I'm beginning to really identify with Simeon and with Anna. The Bible tells us that 8 days have passed since the birth. Jesus is given his name. He is presented in the temple where he is presented to the Lord. It was the law. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy unto God. Simeon is the first to greet the young family. He is described as a righteous man and very devout. He was also looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Simeon, like others, was living in troubled times. He and others were looking for someone to lead. His old, tired arms embraced the child, and his equally tired eyes looked directly into the face of Jesus. Simeon was facing death, but not until he saw for himself the possibilities in this particular child. My eyes have seen your salvation. Light for revelation, for showing all that we have longed and hoped for. His words to Mary and Joseph were very clear. This child had a future. Israel had a future. There was hope for humankind, and yet there would be opposition. There was also Anna. She was called a prophet. At 84, Scripture says she was of great age. She had been widowed after only 7 years of marriage. She worshiped in the temple. She also saw and praised the child. From there, we don't know anything more about them. And all we know of Jesus is how he returned with Mary and Joseph to Nazareth, where the Bible says the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The next thing we will learn is of a time when he returns with his parents to Jerusalem for Passover when he was 12. All those years in between are lost regarding his childhood. What was important for the biblical writer and even the editors was the fact that Jesus grew. Growth is important for all of us as well, no matter what age. There is always something to do, something to be, something to learn, to let experiences motivate and lead us. We live in a world of challenges. They are physical and mental, social and political, and economic. This morning, we are at the doorway of yet another year. We have no crystal balls and not even a fortune cookie, unless someone brought it for coffee hour. It's unnerving. Simeon and Anna knew many, many years, and they entered each one of them with the real gifts of Christmas. Those were the simple gifts of faith, of hope, of love, and of great joy. They lived expectantly. They lived productively. They lived gratefully. Simeon and Anna knew who was in charge of all their changing days. The question this morning is, what do you and I know? And how shall you and I live into a new day and a newer year? Our hymn is number 100.